independent wrestling is pretty damn fucking cool.
We're sitting down in the spotlight and squared circle with Rhino.
We're trying to bring more awareness to the independent professional wrestling scene.
Undoubtedly thankful for anybody that just decided to tune in and actually liked us enough to keep listening.
You're tuned into a show of such thermonuclear awesomeness, your head might just implode into another quantum universe. That's right, it's Grapple Talk, the universal cure for boredom. Featuring Nicholas Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden. Stick around, you don't know what is going to be coming out of their mouth.
Welcome into Grapple Talk. Thanks for stopping by for episode 96. I'm AC Riley, joined by Jesse Von Ruden.
Hey, how's it going?
No Nick Ragnar this week because he's had a busy week, Jesse.
Yeah, he was actually down in, Madison for the WIA state tournament.
Down
in
Madison.
To see the local boys, Bangor, actually take it home. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's their first state championship in school history?
Yes.
Which is nice. You always want to see that. It's the underdog story because, I mean, Pep and Alma, they went in like 28 times the state and they only lost one game.
Now they were the team that actually knocked out Bangor last year in the semifinals, and Bangor was able to get a measure of revenge in the championship game. I mean, you couldn't script it any better.
I mean, that's what pro wrestling is all about, right? Is that, you know, that redemption and to get that revenge and everything like that. So, hey, you know, it's a good football
game.
I thought
it was all about rats and drugs.
For some people, that's all it is about, unfortunately, but that's how it is. 96 this week, we got Brian Skyline in the spotlight and squared circle talking a little bit about his upcoming schedule. He's got a big one, Jesse. He's got Tommaso Ciampa this Saturday as we talk to him as well. He's got Silas Young coming up in January, and he's going to Vegas. So it'll be an exciting time for him and a great opportunity as well. But before we get to Brian Skyline and more Grapple Talk,
here are a few samples of some of the upcoming shows in the Midwest area.
Well, it's actually a good thing I have a show on a Friday because otherwise you just kept on talking for another 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, all right. I can do that.
We are talking about Brew City Wrestling's Thanksgiving Throwdown this Friday, which will probably be, it might be today if you're listening to
it'll
it
It'll be today if you're listening because we're going to produce this.
Are you
going to
steal my thunder too, man? Like, you're going to steal no, it might be today, but it could be
yesterday. I mean,
yesterday,
I could just read BCW.
Or two days ago.
I got Brew City Wrestling on my phone if you want me to do that too.
All right, got it dialed up,
all right,
man.
You're the
one putting together show notes and you totally forgot to send it to him. Anyone. Of course, they're on the road to Rise of Honor 12 coming up here, but this is going to be a big show for them. Of course, it's at the Knights of Columbus, West Allis, 1800 South 92nd Street in West Allis, Wisconsin. It's gorgeous there. Of course, tickets are $17 at the door, $14 using PayPal in advance. Doors open at 6:45. Also, 4 lucky fans during the raffle will win a turkey and the fixings.
So you want to
make sure you want to do that. Already signed, you're going to see the rematch as Joey DeJet Avalon will get another opportunity at the Monster Sadist, who's currently your BCW World Heavyweight Championship champion. That's right, the champion.
He's currently the title.
He
himself.
Is the currently
He's not the,
the
champion. He's the championship.
So, you know, if Avalon's lucky and wins a match, he can actually put Sadist around his waist.
God, I really hope that he's not listening to that because he might actually kind of hurt you on Friday.
I highly doubt
but
that.
But he's probably listening, so just... Nice knowing you, Jesse.
I don't think he actually listens to the show. Also, the BCW tag team titles will be on the line as champions. Insane Evil will be taking on the Perfect Tens. Now, the question is, who are going to be representing the Perfect Tens? If I had to put money on it, I would say Jared Jax and Justin Dredd. Heritage title is on the line as... What? Am I reading this right? When did Sean Priest end up winning the belt again?
He won the belt last show.
Get out of town.
Were you not there for that?
I was there. I just wasn't paying attention, I guess,
too
much. He'll be taking on former champion again, Tyler Sunday, as they continue their hot feud. Of course, you're going to see the return match for the BCW Ladies Championship as Shadows will be finally getting a shot at Sierra. Of course, you're going to see the all-night highlight, Peter Schwann taking on Jay Cross, and whole much more. Of course, that's Brew City Wrestling's Thanksgiving Throwdown on Friday.
It could have been yesterday, or two days ago. But it'll be Friday, and on Saturday is
could be last week.
Could be last week. You never know. But this Saturday is WPW's Front Row Mania at Baba Louie's at 419 Main Avenue in De Pere, Wisconsin. tons of matches coming up, but I want to talk about the prices quick. 15 at the door, 12 in advance for all seats. No front row seats, you know, for a special prize. It's general admission for this, so it's a great price. $5 for kids 7 and under, $5 off with a college or military ID. Also, they're doing a food drive, Jesse, in the raffle
really?
For the Veterans Manor in Green Bay. So all you got to do if you're heading down to this area in De Pere, take a canned good with you, and you get a dollar off your admission at the door. And you can get more details for the Veterans Manor at veteransmanor.com. And you can also do veterans-manor-in-Green-Bay-Wisconsin. You get the idea. Or you can just do Veterans Manor and just find it in Green Bay, Wisconsin as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can get tickets online at wiscopro.com. $12 each for all seats, as I mentioned. Front row seating is now first come, first serve. Doors open at 7. Show
starts.
So
they don't have reserve seating anymore.
They do not have reserve seating anymore, but lately they've been packing the place, so it's that incentive to get those seats early compared to maybe, you know, a little bit last minute.
So basically, if you want those tickets, you want to make sure you get there way before doors open.
Absolutely. Doors open at 7. Show starts at 7:15, 15 minutes after the doors open. All ages are welcome. You can bring the whole family for some family fun. WPW heavyweight champion Joey Jet Avalon takes on Bronson Bay. The X Division champion Gorgeous Jordy Lee takes on TW3. Tag team champions will be the JoJo Boys defending against Ruthless Rage in a street fight, Jesse.
Oh, so, that should be pretty good.
Absolutely. And they're literally right by the street with that alleyway in the back. So, I mean, they could literally go everywhere, not just the sand. You never know. Former WPW heavyweight champion Rough Rider Rashawn will be taking on the debuting Seven. And Derek St. Holmes goes one-on-one with Seth Gambino. That should be a great match as well. Get more details online, as I mentioned, at wiscopro.com for Front Row Mania this Saturday at Baba Louie's.
Of course, those aren't the only shows going on this week, and there's a ton of other shows. Make sure you check us out on Facebook, on the Twitters, on the interwebs, and, of course, in your ear holes.
Definitely. I mean, Fully Loaded's got a jam-packed weekend
yep.
coming up. You got POW that has a show with the Road Warrior Animals. So, yeah, there's a lot of shows happening this
weekend.
Hey,
doesn't POW have their their Wrestle Rager this weekend, isn't
it? It's their Wrestle Rager, I believe. Yeah, so it'd be
a huge show. It's
a
best show
of the year. Huge shows going on this weekend, but nothing wrong with that. I mean, everybody's getting their getting the big shows happening right before the Thanksgiving weekend because you know, nobody's really going to be around for Thanksgiving Black Friday.
Here's actually one person that's actually going to be around, apparently, it looks like, for the Thanksgiving weekend. I'm just tossed my phone over to AC Riley.
Hey, I know that guy.
Yeah, it looks like AJ Styles is actually at the NXT Center.
It's interesting, too, because I believe Austin Aries was also there as well.
Yeah.
He signed some autographs before he walked in. He had his suitcase. They don't really know what he's going to be doing, but there's a lot of speculation that there's a lot of former TNA champions walking into NXT today.
Well, you know, TNA, we found out earlier today they have a new home. It's called POP. I've never heard of this network. Apparently, no one's ever heard of it, but we'll figure it out by the time January rolls around. Ring of Honor is on a new network, Common as well, which is interesting because Common's actually owned by Sinclair Broadcasting, so it just feels like a natural home for them.
Definitely. It's been a productive week here with wrestling news, and especially, too, there's a big talk as well with Paige and Charlotte. They had the bit of a controversial promo when they mentioned Charlotte's brother in the promo, who passed away quite some time ago. And, you know, the big thing is that WWE claims that they, you know, got the consent of the family before they actually mentioned them as, you know, that's part of the whole policy now. But then you had Charlotte's mom who went to Twitter and saying that was cheap heat, it was uncalled for, and apparently she never got the approval. And even Ric Flair was on his podcast saying that he didn't hear anything about it, but he didn't want to make waves because he didn't want to ruin Charlotte's spot in WWE, which, you know, it's an interesting turn of events because, you know, it's one side where you want to be, you know, hey, this is my family you're talking about, but the other side is, well, I don't really want to ruin the chance for my daughter.
Well, look at it this way. This is the first time I can actually ever remember the Divas finishing Raw. They were the end segment. And go figure, someone had a problem with something. Honestly, I went back and watched it. It's a pretty good segment. A little clunky, but it was pretty good. It was very effective, and it got the heat I think they needed. Because otherwise, I don't think anyone would have cared about the match.
Yeah.
That's a sad point, you know. And the fact that everyone knew about Reed, like in the wrestling community, and to have such controversy coming out of something when we live in this reality era where people are, you know, dipping in and out of kayfabe left and right as quick as possible. You know, it's almost one of those things where you're like, did it cross the line? I don't know, because what is the line these days?
It's really blurred at this point. It's something, too, that I see a lot in the memes where, like, for example, they were going down the list.
I like how your memes are, like, your source of information. Like, people used to have, like, encyclopedias and sources. Ah, my memes.
Hey,
my memes, man.
Memes are technically sources, if you think about it. But like,
open source?
They're kind of open source, but
I think they're open source.
They're bringing up the whole issue of you know, why would they bring up something like this? And then they were going down the list of you know every other event that happened in previous events, like you know the whole thing with Triple H and Katie Vick.
Oh, that was totally fictional, though.
Yeah, and you know they had that. They had the whole segment that CM Punk had using Paul Bearer for the feud with WrestleMania.
Yeah.
They had a lot of stuff before this, so obviously, as you mentioned, it's not the first time.
No, it won't be the last time.
It definitely won't be the last time. So it's interesting that this is the one that essentially sparks all this this controversy, if you will.
Yeah, I don't know what exactly the reason is. Maybe it was because he had a parent come out and say something, which, come on, guys. Remember, it's also show business as well. It wasn't a personal attack on her, you know? Which, you know, by the way, you see those left and right in wrestling, and they're kind of like, oh, man.
Pretty much.
Because, like, even when, what was it? Some anonymous source down in the NXT Performance Center last week was like, oh, you know, Alexa Bliss. She puts out to everyone.
Yeah, they called her a ring rat, bottom line.
Yeah, that's a little low, you know, because that's slut-shaming right there. Who cares if she gets with everyone?
I think the best part about it is that it's slut-shaming, absolutely, but on top of that is that you have the guy that's just anonymous, you know, like, you know, you had the whole slut-shaming on Tough Enough where you knew it was one side or the other, you knew who was saying that, but then you had, you know, oh, hey, this person, you know, Alexa Bliss, she's a ring rat. I'm not going to say who I am, though, because I don't want the backfire.
Yeah, well, apparently sometimes the backfire is, you know, Charlie Sheen going on today and saying he's got the HIV.
Do you see the whole stuff, too, with Melissa Joan Hart this week?
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. Going on Twitter and actually calling a performer lazy when you're a super fan? I don't know, Evan, like... I don't know. It's an interesting little tirade between her and Kevin Owens. If you want to check it out, you can check it out on Twitter. But
well, it's funny because you had the New Day block Melissa Joan Hart.
Well, that's a heel move. You got to stick up for your heel brother.
Well, they did that, and then they did the hashtag I stand with Kevin Owens. But apparently, everybody was flipping out about Melissa Joan Hart saying these comments. But apparently, what she was saying that she actually went on Twitter again and she was stating that. She was not saying that Kevin Owens was lazy. She was saying that what she said was essentially a shot at creative, saying that she's seen Kevin Steen and she's seen what Kevin Owens has done in NXT, and in comparison to what he's doing now, it's very lazy. So, you know, what she was essentially saying was that it's not a shot at Kevin Steen's the wrestler, it's a shot at Kevin Owens the character.
That just seems like a lazy excuse.
It kind of is.
Like, it's something you couldn't really use Twitter for, because you literally just gave me the Gettysburg Address when it came to, like, her apology. And it doesn't really need to be that. Social media is a weird thing.
Yeah, it's always funny when you have, like, politicians or, you know, superstars or anything like that, and then whenever they make a statement, it's, you know, you hear, oh, so-and-so made a statement on Twitter today, and they said, I quote, and it's just like, remember when people had to have like formal like statements and they would get sent out to media and everything like that? Now it's just
you would not live in a world where you had to do formal statements to everyone because you just like giving out your ad hoc opinion left and right.
Well, you would know.
Yeah, I know. I gotta be stuck in a car for 3.5 hours tomorrow, and hopefully you fall asleep within the first 20 minutes.
Well, we'll see.
But before you fall asleep during this podcast, we are gonna sit down and talk to Brian Skyline.
It's a great interview with Brian Skyline talking about his upcoming schedule. A lot of stuff coming his way, so we'll get right to the tactic. Try that again.
No, you got to live with this. You got to live with this.
I got to live with this.
This is called ad-libbing. We're doing this kind of live, so if you fumble.
Live, quote-unquote.
Yeah, if you fumble, you got to go with it.
It'd be one thing if we were actually live, but I don't know if I can agree with you. But either way, Brian Skyline.
Sometimes the way you actually do the editing, it is live. Because like last week, you hit me up with one of those.
So
yeah,
live or not, live from New York. It's Saturday night, I guess. We'll see. But coming up is Brian Skyline. We're talking to him in the Spotlight Squared Circle. Stick around for more Grapple Talk right after this.
This is the Monster of the Midwest, Sadist.
Sadist.
There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like grapple talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
Thank you. Hey everybody, it's me, Darren Corbin.
I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
Hi, this is Corey from Independent Wrestling Apparel. Are you an independent wrestler trying to get t-shirts made or hosted online for sales? Visit us at independentwrestlingapparel.com or email us at indiewrestlingapparel@gmail.com and find out how you can get sponsored today. Are you a fan looking to get a shirt from your favorite independent wrestler? Visit our website at www.independentwrestlingapparel.com today and purchase your shirt of your favorite independent wrestler.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
This is Stacey Shadows.
We've said it numerous times that Stacey Shadows is one bad bitch.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk, the best indie wrestling podcast right now known to man.
It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
This week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we're sitting down with Brian Skyline, who has quite a busy schedule, Jesse, coming up in the next few weeks, especially this Saturday, going one-on-one with Tommaso Ciampa of NXT. So, Brian, thank you for joining us this week.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
Hey, man, it's been a while since we actually talked to you. What have you been up to these days?
Probably the same stuff I was doing before, kind of sadly, I guess. Working for UPW and under the lights entertainment mostly. We had a pretty heavy summer in early spring, so that was pretty good. Wintertime, everything's slowing down a little bit, but next few weeks in the new year are sounding very promising. So
you talk about promising. I mean, like we were talking about in the intro, is that this Saturday you got a match with Tommaso Ciampa, and it's one thing because he was just there just the other month, but now you guys are going to go toe-to-toe. So what's that like, knowing that you get to not only share the same locker room with a guy like Tommaso Ciampa two shows in a row, but on one of the shows, you get to go toe-to-toe with him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tommaso, he's hot right now. He has been for a while, even since he left Ring of Honor. I mean, heck, he's the first guy since Rick Rude to appear on, you know, competition TV, if you want to put it in a way, I guess, on NXT and TNA in the same night, you know. Mm-hmm. He's crazy over in Europe and all over the indies at PWG and so on. You know, he's one of the best in the world, period, you know, and who knows where he's going to be ended up here soon. But it's definitely be a challenge for myself, just to see if I can stay up with a guy who's in such high demand, who's a, you know, such a, you know, full-time pro wrestler who's seen the world and has wrestled the highest level of competition there is in the world, period. So it's definitely going to be an interesting test, and I really want to go out there and prove that I can hang with him. I really believe I can hang with him, too. And so we'll figure it out Saturday, I suppose, at the UPW Arena in Gladstone, Michigan.
Well, you know, it was up in the UPW Arena as well that we actually saw you take on Silas Young. You hung with him. Now, this acid test, though, you got with Tommaso Ciampa, this is going to be a little bit different, though. This is going to be a hard-hitting affair. Are you nervous going into this matchup?
No, not really.
No,
I'm one of those type that, punch me in the face, and he kind of lightens me up a little bit more, you know what I mean? I don't mind I get slobber knocker, as it were, you know. Tommaso, you know, knee strikes are absolutely dangerous. He's a compact, explosive dude, so it should be fun. But I think I definitely bring up, you know, styles, you know, make matches, and I think my style, you know, I'm definitely more ground-based. I can definitely, my ability to adapt out of situations, I think, it'll make an interesting blend, and it'll be a very exciting match to watch.
Well, definitely. it's one thing because, I mean, it's not like at UPW you're just wrestling against, you know, kind of some of the Joe Schmoes of UPW, and then you get a big match like Ciampa, because as Jesse mentioned, you wrestle against Silas Young, who's hot in demand right now. You've been going toe-to-toe with Joey Avalon, who is also always hot in demand, especially in the Midwest independent scene.
Well, it sounds like you're hot in demand for him, too.
Hot in demand for him.
You can't get his name out of your mouth, you know?
you're always the one that's like,
Joey Avalon.
Well, I think that's how everybody talks to him, but that's neither here nor there. But, I mean, you go toe-to-toe with him in this Best of Seven series, which, in my opinion, when I was going to those shows, that was honestly the highlight of the entire show. It didn't matter what was going on before that. You knew that match was happening, and that made it worth the wait. Even if you were kind of, you know, tired or maybe sick of the show, you knew that Brian Skyline and Joey Avalon were going to put on a great match. So I can understand why you're really not nervous, because, you know, you've been conditioned essentially to go up with Ciampa, and I think you guys are going to steal the show.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing too. Like wrestling guys like a Silas or Joey Avalon, and, you know, throughout the year, Rhino with Shannon Moore, you know, I've been able, you know, be able to rise the challenge and see what it takes to get to that level. You know, in the first match, whatever. The second match, okay, now I know. It's kind of like Ronda Rousey losing this weekend, this past weekend, you know. I mean, it's a first loss. Everyone needs to take a first loss, you know. All the greats did. Ali, Tyson, Foreman, Frazier, you know, Goldberg, eventually, I guess. you know, everyone has to take that loss. And the next time you come around, you have to learn how to win. Like the Cubs. The Cubs got swept in the NLCS this year. Mm-hmm. But they're such a young team. They're so good. But now they need to actually lose that series more than win it. Because then now they know what they have to do to get deep within themselves and win it. So I've learned that over the course of this career, of my career. And facing a guy like Ciampa, it's not so much I'm nervous, because he is this high profile on the indies right now as he is. It's just like, I know he's good. I know I'm good. I want to test myself. And I beat him. If I don't, well, I think I can figure out how to beat him the next time.
You know, it's one thing I want to go back to really quick is, you know, so you've gone toe-to-toe with Silas Young. You go toe-to-toe with Joey Avalon. You're going toe-to-toe with Tommaso Ciampa. You've wrestled with Shannon Moore and Rhino, as you mentioned. One thing that I've always learned is that in an independent wrestling promotion, if you're going toe-to-toe with the name, it's really the promoter saying that they have the utmost confidence in you to deliver what the guy that's been on TV, you know, WWE, TNA, you name it. So what's that like to know that you essentially have the promoters full-fledged support, knowing that, you know, okay, I could literally have this guy wrestle anybody on my roster, but instead I'm going to have Brian Skyline wrestle him. So what's that like to know that you're essentially that guy when it comes to bringing in a top-tier talent?
To me, it's just a stamp of approval, and it's a resume builder as well. It's like, you know, that I'm a wrestler's wrestler, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm a pro as much as they're a pro. I can do what they do. I know how to main event. I can open a show. I can work the top of the card. I can work the bottom of the card. I'm what needs to be done, whether it's within the context of just the regulars at a promotion or someone to bring in to help give the promotion a boost. I'm the guy who, you put me in whatever my role is, I'm going to meet expectations and possibly exceed them. That's what my goal is every time. So, like, when they put me up to someone like that, it's like, yep, damn right. I'm the guy to put in this thing, so you know we're going to steal the show. You know, but if it's someone who can go with someone else, and I have, like, you know, like me and Avalon are doing something, like, that's the match. Like, we're it's a match number five, so, you know, make or break or something. Like, you know, that's my role. And good luck, you know, having anyone follow us, you don't put us in last, you know. So, I don't know, it's just a stamp of approval, and that's what I've worked for, you know what I mean? Like, I never got in just because, oh, wrestling, that would be fun, golly gee whiz. I wanted to be a wrestler's wrestler. I wanted to be what all the guys I saw on TV and idolized, and all the books I read, and all the shooting interviews I watched. And, you know, hopefully not falling from the pitfall of some of their stories, but, like, what they viewed as being at the top level, you know. But it'd be like any college baseball player or college basketball player, minor league, or, you know, football player is always striving, watching, you know, just hoping they can get to that chance, get to that level, you know what I mean?
Oh, right now you got this best of five series with Joey Avalon, and currently you lead 2-0 on him. You got to ask, when you actually get the chance to put him away, possibly in his third matchup, are you going to be saddened by the fact you're going to put him away 3-0? Or are you going to be like, you know, I'm glad I did it that way?
I'm glad I did, because I really think I'm a game player. And, I go out there to win every single time. And I think I put on the best performance to win every single time. And the reason we're even having this best of five is I had control and I pinned him, but apparently the referee thought my shoulders were down too. So it'd be definitely vindication saying, ha, I'm better than you.
So we're talking a little bit about your schedule coming up here. So you got Tommaso Ciampa on Saturday. What's the rest of the schedule looking like for you? And where can people see you in the near future as well?
Oh, it'll be Tommaso Ciampa this Saturday for UPW at the UPW Arena in Gladstone, Michigan. I'm forgetting the dates, but in December there will be a three-way between myself, Dysfunction, and Silas Young for the Under the Lights Entertainment Lights Out Championship.
That should be a good one.
That'll be in Marinette, Michigan. Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. Guys have wrestled already before. We've definitely, in a one-on-one contest, had some pretty stellar matches, and we kind of, with the blend of the three of us, can produce there. Then at the end of December, we'll be, that'll be match number three between myself and Joey Avalon. And then January, I will be going out to Vegas for Shane Douglas's Championship Wrestling Revolution to be taking part of their casting call, as it were.
Oh, cool.
What he's got going right now, it's kind of like Tough Enough meets Ultimate Fighter.
All right.
So, they're going to have X amount of guys, and then come down there final, and eventually it'll be a part of, hopefully it'll be a full-time deal, but we'll see how that goes. It's pro wrestling, never say never, and don't expect too much.
Right. Let's talk about that for a second. So, I mean, we see you a lot here in the Michigan area, in the Wisconsin area, the Midwest, basically. So how did you get to that connection with Vegas? And it's really you getting out of your comfort zone, as it were, is because you're going in a completely new area. Or have you been in the Vegas area before?
I've never been to Vegas before. Farthest west I've actually ever been is North Dakota, actually. So I've never been out that far before. So that's just going out there, even with the hopes of being signed with them, just the life experience of, going out and being out in Vegas and, experiencing the desert for the first time in my life and, mountains and that part of the country is exciting. How I got in contact? Social media, the internet. I've been seeing the rumors popping up about this whole thing starting up, whatever, and, take everything with a grain of salt, don't believe it till you see it. Then the YouTube channel started pulling up little teasers for their pilot episode that they shot recently. And Shane Douglas, I emailed Shane Douglas over Facebook. Asked him just, what's the best way of going about sending a resume. Mm-hmm. Gave me an email address, sent my resume. And about a month to the day, maybe 5 weeks-ish, they sent me back the stuff for the sign up for the deal. So I immediately signed up for it, made a highlight video and promo within like 8 hours, and had all the stuff back to them within 24 hours. Only reason I was not shorter than that was because my internet slow at my friend's house, so I had to wait till the next morning to send it out.
Did your friend have like the dial-up internet, or was it just like DSL?
You got to understand. You guys been up to UP, been up to Escanaba and Gladstone. Those are small towns.
Yeah.
My town is a fifth or a tenth the size of that.
Wow.
So, and he was a little bit out of town a little bit, so it's a little tougher for me internet out there, I guess. Especially a slow standard, They don't have much for streaming or games or anything like that, so
yeah.
It's got a basic internet package. It took forever to upload stuff. It was kind of nauseating. Just waiting.
And
waiting.
One thing.
Waiting.
Just keep waiting. One thing I've noticed a lot is, especially lately, is that we're starting to see some of the Midwest guys heading over to that side of the country, heading over to Vegas. One guy that comes to mind is Owen Travers, who went from essentially Michigan to Vegas. So is that something for you that you hope that you can essentially move down there to Vegas permanently, or are you kind of hoping to kind of do a back and forth between Vegas and the Midwest? Lesnar. What essentially, in a perfect situation, what would you hope for?
Well, from what I'm gathering, what they're aiming for right off the start, you know, once we get everyone signed up for it, they're going to be running. Like the whole thing is about making content. So they're trying to, you know, shop around as much as they can and whatnot. And they're looking to have a show six times a week in Vegas at a Vegas casino. Mm-hmm. So it would be kind of like, you know, a Vegas attraction almost. But right now, with wrestling, you know, East Coast will always be a capital. As long as, you know, WWE and Philadelphia and New York and New Jersey and all that will always be a wrestling capital. Clearly, Orlando has become a hotbed.
Yeah.
You know, NXT and their indies and TNA being down there and WWN running out of there a lot, too. Vegas, you know, is it's one of the all-time entertainment attractions that has more eyes just coming there just from around the world, really, you know. So like, it makes sense that there's a lot starting up there. I mean, you know, Global shot their TVs out there. There's a Paragon Pro that does their TVs out there. Owen Travers are going with Future Star of Wrestling out there. And hopefully Classic Wrestling Revolution, you know, doing this thing out there too. It's becoming a hotbed in itself. So if they end up having, like, you know, a show at the casinos every night of the week, you know, I'm saying that probably would have to be out there, you know, like you can't fly me in and out every day, you know, it would make sense, period. And I don't know, I know I grew up in the Midwest, you know, and we've got our first snowstorm up here today.
Oh, wow.
Not too bad. It was really just more wind and dust and whatnot, but not anything dusty either. I know you had them on here a lot, but it knocked out power and stuff, so it's like, oh, great, winter's here.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, January, I got this opportunity to go out to the desert. God, I really want to get signed, so I don't have to deal with this shit anymore.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, one of the nice things, too, about Vegas is, like, you're basically a hop, skip, and a jump away from L.A., and there's so many opportunities out there, especially with, like, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and does New Japan still have their dojo in L.A. as well or not?
I don't think so. I think Inoki does, but it's just Inoki. It's not, like, affiliated with New Japan anymore.
It's a great opportunity, you know, and plus so many great MMA camps out there, too.
Oh, sure. You know, Tijuana's right across the border. There's always wrestling over there. There's plenty of places in L.A. to wrestle. Pacific Northwest ain't doing so bad anymore, it seems. There seems to be a few more things popping up out there, with, like Hood Slam and I know West Coast Wrestling Connection, which is like some sort of connection with Paragon Pro. So, like, a lot of the guys on that roster wrestle for Paragon Pro in Vegas. So
yeah, Hood Slam's a really interesting product. I actually got to see a couple of their videos and stuff like that. They have everyone right next to the ring, and there's barely any room for, like, you know, just movement and stuff like that. Is that, like, an atmosphere you would actually excel in? You'd be like, oh, man, this is going to get my blood going.
But I had to deal with that before at UPW when we first ran the PNR bar. Mm-hmm. Like, everything was closed in, like, you know, like, people were, like, within, like, almost arm's reach of the ring, you know? So you could, like, a palpable energy of such a small area, but like all eyes are on you, like everywhere, on top of you, the side of you, the corner of your eye, you know, on the floor or wherever, you know. So it's definitely, the intimate atmosphere is always very nice, and it creates a very powerful vibe, and the fans are feeling it, they're close enough and they can feel what's going on in the action, so they get hyped up about it, so it creates that energy that makes wrestling so great and fun, you know.
Wrestling here in the Midwest until January, you're making the move over to Vegas. Hopefully things go well with Shane Douglas and everything. Once you're done with that, or at least, you know, you go through essentially the trial program. For you, what would be the next step essentially with professional wrestling? What would be the goal? Would you want to stay in the West Coast then after that, or would you want to go back to the Midwest and hopefully try some new territories in that area?
Depending on how that goes. I mean, like I said, if I got signed, I'd be moving out there. If, you know, I you know, have the confidence that I will be signed, of the amount of people they have, possibly with the amount of contracts they're giving out or signing people to. I really do believe I can and will get that. But if not, I mean, just what's the next step from there? Try to get put in our company. Ring of Honor has their trials 4 times a year.
Yep.
Why not, you know? Worth a shot.
Hey, man, you definitely got the talent. And I think both Alex and myself can agree, man. You got as good a shot as anyone else. Before we stop right here, because we got to move on with the show and stuff like that, and you probably got to buckle down for winter up there in the UP. You know how terrible it is. I heard it's something similar to, you know, like in Game of Thrones. You know, you got all those wilding guys running around and stuff like that with spears and trying to take your women. So yeah.
Does that really happen?
Yeah, instead of like having cool armor and stuff, they just wear flannels and orange hats. But it looks pretty much the same, though.
Gotcha. So I got to ask you, what are you watching these days?
As far as television or wrestling wise?
Oh, wrestling, man. There's always good wrestling.
I'm really big into my New Japan right now.
Yeah.
Following their storylines. Going back and watching old New Japan, like old Muda, mm-hmm. watching old All Japan, the Tabashi and Masawa were rocking it there and whatnot. I've been watching a lot more Japanese heavyweight styles and appreciating that more and more. But, you know, still love, will always love the junior heavyweight style over in Japan, too. So, and like, Kenny Omega's my boy. He's not really my boy, but, like, he's my favorite to watch. You know?
Well, Brian, before we let you go, people can see you, obviously, this Saturday in Gladstone, Michigan. But how do people get a hold of you? How do people contact Brian Skyline if they want to maybe interact and maybe hopefully get you booked someplace else?
Brian Skyline Wrestling at gmail.com. Email address, obviously, there. Facebook, Brian Skyline Bookings. Twitter, you can follow me at Brian Skyline or at Trailer PK Prince.
All right, man. Well, for Jesse, thank you for joining us this week, and good luck on Saturday. Brian Skyline this week on Grapple Talk. Check him out this Saturday against Tommaso Ciampa in Gladstone, Michigan, and also coming up in Under the Lights Entertainment, in that Triple Threat, Dysfunction and Silas Young. Be a great match as well. Brian Skyline on Grapple Talk. Stick around for more right after this.
This is Colin Brooks. I have the heart of a lion, and you are listening to Grapple Talk.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with this week in wrestling history, and we go, hey, whatever happened to? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Pro Wrestling Roundtable Slam, PWR Slam. Every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio on the Evolution Radio Network, 9 Eastern, 8 Central Standard. PWR Slam, leading the pro wrestling radio revolution with a new evolution by bringing you the stars of yesterday, the stars of today, and the stars of tomorrow, and all the other news and happenings you need to know in the world of professional wrestling. Find us on Facebook, PW Roundtable, or on Twitter, PWR Slam. See you Wednesdays.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RBEnterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
Hey, what's up, Grapple Talk? This is Dysfunction and my tag team partner, Chase McCoy.
Ah!
We are Insane Evil, and we're here on Grapple Talk to tell you a little bit about my new podcast. It's the THC3 Roadcast. It's on OneGimmickWorld.com. Myself, Jason J., Jared Jacks, and our random guests like Chase McCoy, Matt Winchester. The list goes on and on, but check out our podcast and give it a like.
High five, Jay.
Yeah! What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, pencilpodcast.com.
Let me tell you something about respect, huh?
You want to hear a little bit about respect?
I would love to hear about respect.
I respect!
Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
As a group, we do.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Well, it was good catching up there with the Trailer Park Prince himself, Brian Skyline. You know, it's too bad we weren't up in UPW to check out that match, because it's one I actually want to see. Him and Tommaso Ciampa, it'd be a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime I've seen Brian Skyline up in the UP, like, he's definitely one of the shining jewels, and I kind of talked about that in the interview, but, you know, you can essentially... The match before could be just garbage. It could be awful, and sometimes that happens, unfortunately. But, you know, whenever he was going toe-to-toe with Avalon, that match was next, then the crowd kind of livened up a little bit. So it's a great talent that, you know, he has, and when he can go out there, is that he can get the crowd essentially back from the dead. So, I mean, I think him and Ciampa will have a tremendous match on Saturday, and if you have the ability to get down there, you should...
You mean up there. It's actually in a UP.
Up, down, left, right, left, trigger, select start. I don't know what the cheat code is, but when you go up there to Gladstone, you should definitely check it out if you have the ability to, because it'll be a great match.
No, Skyline's definitely the ace of that locker room. Wish him the best of luck, especially in his tryouts in Vegas. So, AC Riley, I got to ask you something in wrestler's perspective.
Now it's time for wrestler's perspective.
All right, so let's say you were in a situation much like Charlotte and Paige were in, and let's say real life kind of blended into that promo, and it was one of those things where it shocked your family to the core. How would you handle that as a professional wrestler, or as just a professional in general?
It's a great question, because for me, I remember very early in my career, I do remember a time where for NAW, they had the gay clowns. You remember those at all?
Yeah, I remember the gay clowns.
And
I
remember that at one point I was asked to be, you know, part of that, you know, wear the clown mask and everything like that. And I remember I actually refused to do that.
They were the gay clown posse, right?
Yeah, they're the gay clown posse. And I remember actually refusing to be part of that because of the fact that, well, my parents are gay, and you know, I have a cousin who's a lesbian. I have an aunt who's a lesbian. I have, you know, co-workers, I have friends, I have a lot of people within the gay community, and I felt like wearing that mask would be an insult to them. So for me, in that instance, it was very much just, you know, I don't want to do something that I know that somebody could see and see me essentially mocking them, and I think that would be unprofessional to do.
That is definitely true, and that was... It was a weird gimmick. I remember that one.
It was really weird. Yeah. Like, I'm glad that didn't get any farther than NAW, let's be honest. And that's the thing, too, is I'm pretty sure they don't even do it anymore.
Yeah, it was probably...
I'm glad it was just essentially, like, you know, always, like, your parents are like, oh, it's just a phase. I'm glad it was just a phase. It was a very weird phase, but I'm glad that we don't see it anymore or hear about it anymore.
Wow.
But then again, maybe there's somebody in Canada that's doing that for all I know, and we, you know... They're listening now. I was like, hey, guys, we do this, and what are you guys saying wrong with the gimmick? There's a lot of fucking wrong things wrong with that gimmick, but it's neither here or there.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with the lifestyle those clowns actually enjoyed. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, it was just like the execution.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the lifestyles, but I think there's a difference between being a wrestler who happens to be gay, and that just kind of leaks into your character, you know, very much like, you know, Spider Baby or anybody else. But I think if you're essentially, you know, a straight guy walking in that gimmick and you're just like, how can I be the most offensive gay clown as possible? Then that's just like, yeah, it's essentially, that's almost like blackface, in my opinion.
So it's like gay clown face.
It's, yeah, I guess, yeah.
You only make one type of balloon animal, huh?
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear me.
Yeah.
You know what kind of balloon animal we're talking about.
I think I know.
Yeah.
I think I know.
Starts with a W.
It's
an ener.
Yeah.
Be kind, rewind. Tape study.
We're actually going to go back in time. Last week we actually lost one of the all-time greats in Nick Bockwinkel. So this week we're going to sit down and watch a Nick Bockwinkel match. It's going to be Nick Bockwinkel taking on Billy Robertson.
Oh.
Now, you know, Bockwinkel, we actually had a slew of matches that we could really choose from. And we've already highlighted some of them on tape study, but this one's a great one. Robertson's one of the all-time greats when it comes to technical wrestling. And Bockwinkel is one of those guys where he could elevate anyone he was in the ring with, but when you put him in the ring with another great, that match just goes right through the roof. Enjoy it, have fun. you know, the wrestling world definitely lost a gem. And hopefully a lot of people now, you know, as morbid as it might sound, because of the passing, will actually go back and actually double-check those matches with Nick Bockwinkel and realize just how good of a worker he was.
Absolutely. It was a shame to hear on Sunday that we lost a wrestling legend. It's definitely unfortunate. So wish the best to the Bockwinkel family, and hopefully that they're doing well in this difficult time. And like you said, hopefully you get some fans to be like, yeah, I'm going to watch Nick Bockwinkel, and you know, really honor the wrestling great by reliving some of his greatest moments.
Definitely, one of the things Bockwinkel was actually really notorious for doing was he would actually study the dictionary.
Really,
and he would find new words in there that no one else was using. He would use them in promos, and it was definitely a very condescending move to use, especially in the uneducated market that, the upper Midwest is, you know.
Super. That's the way it is. That's a good move, though.
Hey, you know what's coming up here on Sunday, though?
What's coming up on
Survivor
Sunday?
Survivor Series. And it's interesting for two reasons. We're going to have a new WWE heavyweight champion.
Guaranteed.
Plus, it's also the 25th anniversary of The Undertaker's debut.
Definitely going to be a historic Survivor Series. I mean, ever since Seth Rollins got injured, I know a lot of people are excited just the fact that there was going to be a tournament, because for a lot of fans, the tournament Survivor Series was one of their favorite, you know, pay-per-views. So be interesting to essentially relive that and then also highlight 25 years of The Undertaker.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You're going to see the future on showcase while we're reliving the past. But hey, that's pro wrestling right there in a nutshell.
Definitely.
Well, that's it, folks, for this week's episode of Grapple Talk. We'll be back next week. We actually got two special episodes coming up. You don't want to miss it, as we are getting closer to 100.
We're getting closer to 100, and as you mentioned, the two episodes we have coming up, you know, we're talking about anniversaries, so, you know, ACW has an anniversary coming up as well in December, so it's going to be a lot of ACW hyping coming up for their December 4th show, so yeah, we'll be sitting down with ACW greats and talking with them about their upcoming show, the upcoming anniversary. Be an exciting time.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time, folks. Enjoy it. Pro wrestling. Going strong.
Jesse Von Ruin, closing comments.
Wow, you really put me on the spot.
I really did.
One. I'm actually looking forward to going to BCW on Friday, and if you listen to this on a Saturday, actually yesterday, I'm going to hit up Vortex Comics. You see, I stumbled on this little fact that the guy who actually created Milk and Cheese, the comic book, actually wrote a 12-issue run of Bill and Ted for Marvel, and it's actually really good. So I'm going to go see if they actually got it. And it's actually probably in the dollar bin, so I could spend $12 and actually get the whole entire run. And then I'm going to have to double check and make sure they actually, maybe they got the World Championship Wrestling run as well.
Might as well.
Which is crazy. It's an early 90s WCW done by Marvel. It's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, should be a great show. Obviously BCW delivers every time that they have a show.
Uh-huh.
Avalon and Sadus, the rematch should be great as well, because they had a great match at the last show as well.
Even going back to September, they had a great match in September.
Oh, absolutely. And then on top of that too, you get to ride up with Devlin Kane, and it's always fun to ride up with him, and I've been doing that for essentially the past couple weeks, so it'd be nice to have a third person into that, so that'll be exciting as well.
Oh, yeah, so two of you guys can actually probably, you know, sleep the whole time and be like, I think it'll be fine, though,
because, like, every time I've noticed with TJ is that, with Devlin Kane, excuse me, is that, like,
breaking kayfabe, brother.
Yeah, you always call me by the wrong name anyway.
No, I just call you Alex, because I don't care.
Right.
I don't care about your name.
No, but it's great, because every time he's just like, oh, man, I'm really tired. I didn't get a lot of sleep. And just, you know, the entire trip, he just can't sleep. So you might luck out with that.
Yeah, and we're also probably going to be sticking around. We got a special project coming up. Hopefully we have more information on that within the next couple of weeks. That should be interesting to see how that one plays out as well.
Definitely. Well, that's it for Grapple Talk. We're going to stop talking so we can let you move on with your lives, because we got to move on with ours. So for Jesse Von Ruden and Nick Ragner, who's not here, hopefully by next week he'll be back. I'm AC Riley. We'll catch you guys next week. Stay classy.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
I don't know why I like that name so much. It's like,
you have an asphyxiation on dick names.
I think that has to be it.
With Nick Ragner, AC Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Are you getting a Wrestle Rager right now?
I'm getting a Wrestle. You think that's why it's called Wrestle Rager?
I think it might be.
Oh, that's weird.
I don't think it is.
You don't think so?
No. I think it has something to do with it.
No, I think it's a Rager because it's like a party, you know?
What are you doing?
I'm dancing.
Stop it.
Come on.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.